Alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala Rasulullah. Last night we completed the 29th juz. I just want to focus on some verses in Surah Al-Qalam. Surah Al-Qalam was revealed at the very beginning of the prophethood, in which the Prophet alayhi salatu salam had started openly giving da'wah to the people. And in response to that da'wah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was called Majnoon, Sahir, and Kahin, and so many different insults. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah to kind of put him at ease that he was watching over everything, and the fact that the Quraysh were dealing with him so harshly, it was not unnoticed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he would be dealing with the perpetrators of that crime in the future. So at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes an oath, and I just want to touch upon that briefly before I move on to the main subject, which is an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of the people of Quraysh. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. He says, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon is one of the huruf al-muqatta'at, which we do not know the meaning of. And Allah says, I swear by the pen and what they are writing. Meaning what the angels of Taqdeer and Qadr are writing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by that. And he says, Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. O Prophet of Allah, you are not, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not majnoon. You are not afflicted by a jinn, you are not crazy. And the fact that they are calling you that, and they are saying that you are majnoon, this does not make it real. And then, Wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnoon. And indeed for you, there is so much emphasis here. Indeed for you, especially for you, la ajran. Indeed, again, lam is here for qasam, is a reward, ghayra mamnoon. Ghayra mamnoon means an unlimited reward. And mamnoon basically means that favor which is counted. So if you give somebody something and then you keep on reminding him of that favor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're going to get a reward that nobody is going to count that favor from you, and nobody is going to remind you. Meaning it's an unlimited reward which is unaccountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you a reward for the fact that you have to deal with these difficulties in the work of prophethood. And then after that, وَإِنَّكَ لَعْلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, O Prophet of Allah, you have the best of akhlaq, you have the best of manners. And again, وَإِنَّكَ لَا. And then these are all words of emphasis. Inna, emphasis. Lam, emphasis. And the dhamir right there, it's for emphasis. Indeed, you have the best of manners. So if you look at the context in which the Prophet ﷺ is being told you have the best of manners, it is not the context in which people are dealing with him favorably and saying nice things about him and treating him like a king. He is being insulted, he is being persecuted, he is being called all types of different names. And in the context of all of those insults and difficulties that he's going through, the Prophet ﷺ still displayed the best of manners. That is what true akhlaq is. Otherwise, if everyone is good to me and everyone is dealing with me in a nice way, yes, I can have good akhlaq and I can deal with them in a nice way. That's not difficult. The difficulty is when people are giving you a hard time and you are having a lot of difficulty with them, and then on top of that, you deal with them in the best of ways. That is what good akhlaq truly is. So in the context of in which the Prophet ﷺ was told that you have the best of manners, it was the context which we can see from the surrounding verses where he's being called Majnoon and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, فَسَتُبْصِرُ وَيُبْصِرُونَ. O Prophet of Allah, you're going to see and they're going to also see. بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. Which of you all are in a trial? Meaning, who is a Majnoon? Who is on the right path? Who is misguided? You will find out in the future, in the hereafter, that will truly emerge. So you will see that. So, O Prophet of Allah, be patient. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dhalla an sabili wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. Your Lord, He has more knowledge of those people that are misguided from His path and those people that are on the right path. After that, I'm going to skip and go on to an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. And I'm going to go through that example first, and then we're going to compare it with the purpose of bringing those particular verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. Indeed, we have tested them, tested the Quraysh, to whom the Prophet ﷺ was sent, just like we tested the people of the garden. So it's the story of a people who have a garden that is ready for harvesting, the fruit is ready, and they are about to get that fruit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we are testing the Quraysh, just like we tested the people of the garden. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ. When they took an oath that most certainly they're going to harvest it in the morning. So the fruit is ready for picking, they're ready to harvest the fruit or the crop, and they are taking an oath. They are saying that, Wallahi, we're going to go in the morning and we're going to harvest the fruit. This year we've had a very good crop. This year we had a very good harvest. We're going to take it tomorrow. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. And they didn't make any type of exception. What does that mean, taking an exception? It means that they did not set aside a share for the poor people. They didn't set aside a share for the poor people, and they said, basically everything is ours and nobody is deserving of this. We put our back into this harvest. We made a huge effort, and now we are the ones that deserve it. Nobody else is going to deserve it, no poor person or anything. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. So what happened? They took an oath that in the morning they're going to harvest it. Overnight something happened. فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Something came overnight. A punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came overnight. طَائِف basically means, from the word tawaf, right? Tawaf, it means to circulate, circumambulate. So this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whatever form it was, whether it's a fire or a tornado or a hurricane, whatever it was, it destroyed everything, وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ, while they were sleeping. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَصَرِيمٍ. And this whole harvest became like chewed up or harvested crop. Sareem, according to Ibn Abbas, means كَلَيْلٍ أَسْوَدٍ, like a black night. Everything became darkened and charred and destroyed. And according to the majority of the scholars, as-sareem means that harvest that has already been chopped down. So you see a harvest one day, and the next day the farmer, he chops it down and he takes all the crop. So what is remains of it, that is as-sareem. So it became as if it's already been harvested. فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ. And now they don't know that's happened. So they wake up in the morning and they're calling each other. فَتَنَادَوْ, they are calling each other in the morning. أَنِغْدُوا عَلَى حَرْثِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَارِمِينَ. Let's hurry and go early to the fields so we can do the harvesting. If you want to do the harvesting, let's hurry to the fields if you're going to do it. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. And they walked while they were doing takhafut. Takhafut means talking slowly and quietly. Why? The next ayah says, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. And they were talking slowly and quietly so that the masakeen and the poor people don't realize that they're going for the harvesting and they don't come and ask for their share. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. That today no miskeen should enter upon this harvest, because we want everything for ourselves. وَغَدَوْ عَلَى حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ. And they came to hard basically means with a strong resolve, with a good, strong intention. They came fully equipped with a good intention, or full intention, that they're going to do the harvesting today and they're going to keep it all to themselves. So, وَغَدَوْ عَلَى حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَظَالُونَ. And when they saw it, they said, looks like we lost the way. This isn't our harvest. This isn't our field. We probably took a wrong turn somewhere. And they said, Inna لَظَالُونَ. And then they realized, no, it is their field. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. In fact, we have been deprived. So this is actually what happens when a person is faced with a tragedy or difficulty. The first thing that happens is there's denial. Okay? There's a psychological, psychological steps that take place when a person is faced with a difficulty or grief or a tragedy. Somebody, a doctor tells him, you have a very bad illness. So the person, initially he will say, no, the test must be wrong. I'm going to get a second opinion. Denial, always there. So this is what happened. The first thing they said, this isn't our field. They denied that it was their field. The denial took place. And then when the reality sets in, then the person starts to actually believe it. And he says, and the next ayah, well, nahnu mahrumun, the reality is, yes, I have got that illness. I've taken that second opinion. I have got that illness. And they realized that it is the field that they had. قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. The middle from amongst them. And أَوْسَط, according to the scholars, it refers to أَعْدَلُهُمْ, the best among them, the most just amongst them, said to them, didn't I tell you, لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ, why don't you make the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the tasbih here refers to the issue of giving in charity, because glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes in many forms. And one of them is giving in charity. It doesn't necessarily mean to make the tasbih itself. In the context in which the word is being used, it means to give in charity. Didn't I tell you to give in charity? فَأَقْبَلَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. And they realized that our Lord is pure and we were the wrongdoers. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. And they turned to each other and started blaming each other also. So this also happens. When people get into trouble, one of the things that they do is they start blaming each other and they don't take responsibility for their own actions. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ. And they started saying that indeed we were transgressors. عَسَى رَبُّنَا أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to replace it with something better than that. We should now turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. This is how the punishment comes. وَالْعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. And the punishment of the hereafter is greater. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only they knew. So what does this mean? That the punishments that we get in this world, or the tests that we get in this world, these are minor in comparison to the tests that we will get in the hereafter. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Most certainly we will make the people taste the smaller punishments in this world, affliction with illness, difficulties in the marriage, difficulty with the children, problems with the business, financial difficulties. This is adabul adna. This is the small test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends sometimes. But the main punishment is in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us on the straight path by giving us these small doses so that we keep on turning to Him. So here Allah says that the punishment of the hereafter is greater if only they knew. So what is this story about? And what is it meaning? What does it mean in the context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings these verses? The Quraysh, they are insulting the Prophet. They're not taking the message from him. So what it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is giving the example of a good village that is getting so many different types of benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of harvesting fruit, crops and so on. And this village, it's referring to Makkatul Mukarramah. And the people of Mecca, they are getting all types of fruits because of the fact that the Kaaba is there. People are coming, they're migrating, they're coming to do the pilgrimage. So a huge economy is based upon people coming to Makkatul Mukarramah. In addition to that, people from north and south are respecting the people of Mecca because the Kaabatullah, the Baytullah is there. And they get privileges for that reason. So when they go in the to the north in the summertime, they do trade in Jerusalem and Bilad al-Sham. And in the wintertime, they go to Yemen to the south and they do trade over there. And everything is beautiful, business is booming, they are getting so much profit. And then one prophet comes to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here, أَوْسَطُهُمْ. Who is the أَوْسَطُهُمْ? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam comes to them and tells them that Allah has blessed you with so much, why don't you worship only Him? Why don't you worship only Him? But they don't listen to Him. They don't listen to His message. And Allah is saying that there's a big possibility that these people that do not accept the message that is given to them, they would be deprived of the blessings that they have, and a punishment comes to them in this world. So this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the people of Quraysh, that don't be like these people. This example that has been given to you, it is for you to wake up and realize how many blessings you've been given. You should listen to the Prophet that has come, otherwise there is a high possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could punish you. So the same thing actually applies to us. If we take it away from the context in which it was revealed and we take it upon ourselves, Allah has blessed us with so much. And the only thing that Allah wants from us is that we lead our life in His obedience, stay away from His disobedience, and to lead our life in a way that pleases Him. And sometimes if we do not, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can send down these calamities and tests so that, first of all, we wake up, and secondly, so that our sins are forgiven in this world, so we don't have the punishment of the hereafter. So if Allah has blessed us with these blessings, first of all, we need to use those blessings to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in His obedience, and also keep a share for the poor and the needy, and don't be stingy with them. And this is basically the lesson that we learn from these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in Surah Al-Qalam. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.